بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This morning someone was explaining me the news, what's happening in Syria, etc. So this would obviously be a natural concern for every Muslim, the plight of his brother. But I explained to him that I used to be following this type of information around the 69-70 wars, Arab-Israeli-Pakistan, Bangladesh, etc., when it was separated. But then after that, I began to examine within myself that what's the need for me to follow this news? What do I get out of this? If a Muslim has a goal in life, and he needs to understand his goals before putting his energies in any place. You make an investment, just like money is an investment, then time is also an investment. Money is an investment, time is an investment, your energy is an investment. So we're expending our energies or time in this to get what? What are we to get after this? So in my youth, I seen nothing but excitement. All right, what's happening now? Who's scoring and who's winning? And the news has its own way that they keep you in suspense. So you want to see tomorrow what happens and the following day what's happening. So they know how to articulate and how to manipulate, how they can keep you in suspense. Obviously, if they sell all the information to you at once, then you're not going to buy the paper again. So they have to maintain the suspense that you to keep you on the line. And their tills keep ringing. Like, you need to make a business, they need to make a business. You need to make a living, they need to make a living. So they have mastered one type of business, and they go in that end. But then I began to think to myself that I can't just disregard this. If it's happening to your Muslim brother, you can't just disregard it entirely. So the second thought that passed my mind was, then what can I do? Obviously, it's not going to be possible for me to participate, right? For whatever reasons, sometimes you get implicated politically, legal consequences, you don't want to be implicated, right? Nobody wants that. But then just to look as a spectator and not do anything for your brother, that also doesn't seem to be right. Then within your limitations, what do you do? And what are you required to do? So the two things that came to my mind. One is to make dua. And number two, to support the cause. As long as there's no legal implications, you support the cause. Whichever way, some relief fund, etc. So at least at some level you are with your brother. You're not getting implicated, but by the same token, you are supporting your brother at some level. But then again, I thought that this is not sufficient. One is just looking at the news and following what's going on. And the second is supporting it. So you support it. How do you support it? Support it with your du'as, support it with whatever relief you can support it with. So when I began to look at it very closely, I said, if I'm going to support it as well, then it's just treating the symptoms. There's a symptom, there's a headache, I'm just treating the symptom. Or it's a heart problem, you're just treating the symptom by giving some type of a relief. We cannot deny that that relief is required. But that's not the original cure. Because when you hear the news from different angles and different perspectives, then there is someone that is making it happening, right? And there is someone that's behind the scene, right? One putting up one against the other. You can see all the scenes, right? From 1910, 1920, when the Usmani Khilafat had collapsed, right? So the whole scheme was to break and disunite the Muslim. However you can break him up into pieces. When he's broken up into pieces, then it's easy to rule and manipulate. But as long as he's together, then you cannot rule over him. Right. And then, in order for that to happen, they will keep frightening you. Like the Quran Sharif says, that أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَ وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِ. They frighten you with things besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't do this, this will be the consequence. You don't do this, you don't follow us, and you'll see the consequence. So, Iraq was ruined, Kuwait was ruined, and now you find problems in Egypt, you find problems in Syria, and then one against the other. So one is being supported against the other, and there's something communal, something that's within. You don't have to have an outside force to come and destroy them. There is a fight within them. And the whole world is just looking at spectators. So we will support them, we will relieve them. That we need to do, alright, that's one level. But that's not the actual treatment. Because if we're going to just confine ourselves to that point, that means we're only looking after the symptoms. Man's got a heart problem, you give him Aspro, Disprin, just relieving him, suppressing the pain. So that's not the original treatment. We do not deny the need for the relief. That's one thing, or it's a different thing altogether. But have we identified the problem? Have we recognized the problem? The problem is that they're making us fight within ourselves. Get you to fight me, get me to fight you. So we will be embroiled in the battle, whether it's in Afghanistan, whether it's wherever in the world, but get me to fight you and get you to fight me. Supplying arms to him to fight me, or supplying arms to me to fight him. So each person is then most concerned about his own security, whether it's Kuwait, whether it's any other country. But what's the concern? The concern is my own security. What happens to my brother, be he two steps away or three steps away, wherever he may be, but I'm not concerned about him. So my whole concern, my whole focus is my own security, my own protection. What happens to that person, what happens to any other person is not my concern. So then, what should be the effort then? We can see this. This is news. Now what I'm talking about is news. We're all seeing it, right? If you follow the news, then you hear the same thing. And my guess is you don't have to follow the news. In the masjid papers, a lot of things you'll find. Some al-haq will come out and some poster will come out. You'll get to know what's going on. So really, you don't need to follow the news on the radio or the television or the newspaper. You don't follow it. You'll get it. And if you don't get it from there, then you'll get it from the panchayat jamaat, the pavement. Someone will give it to you. So this happening, this happening. So you'll get to know what's going on. So after examining all this, then I come to one conclusion, that their whole effort is to break you up, right? So that they can rule, divide and rule, right? And they will break you up with very beautiful slogans. When they broke up the whole Usmani Khilafat, all these Arab countries were under the Usmani Khilafat, be it Kuwait, be it Bahrain, be it Qatar, be it UAE, whoever, all were under the one. But the beautiful slogan they had used at that time was that, see, you are an Arab. The Quran Sharif is in Arabic. The Nabi was an Arabian, right? The language of the people of Jannah is Arabic, right? And you allowing a non-Arab, a Turk, to rule over you. So now that appealed to any Bedouin, any villager, who's not very, very mature in his understanding. And that was the case in Arabia at the time, not very mature, not very stable in his thinking. It appealed to him. And he picked up arms against his own brother. It happened there. Pakistan, a similar thing happened when they wanted to call for sub-Pakistan. So the slogan they had used, again they had used, what is Pakistan? Pakistan is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So I ask you, whose mouth will not water? Any Muslim whose mouth will not water. See, this is now, at last, it is the dream that we were dreaming of. At last, the dream that we had, you know, this is the dream, it's being realized. So everybody will fall for it. So everything is used. Deen can be used. Everything can be used for their personal aims, their personal goals. Everything. Deen can be used. Your own wife can be used. Woman can. Everything can be used just to acquire their own goals. When a person is in that, you know, in that type of a situation, that type of mindset, he doesn't worry. Deen doesn't mean anything to him. Woman doesn't mean anything to him. Self-respect doesn't mean anything to him. Respecting your promises and pledges with other countries doesn't mean anything. We must just grab. We must just have that power. Just that rule you must have. So, the only way they could come through is to break you. Then, the only way for your survival now is to make. They are broken, so you have to make. And the only way that you can make is then to unite. The long and the short is if you unite, you are together. Nobody can break you. But then how do you go about uniting? Everybody talks about uniting, take out a whole procession, unite, under one banner, unite, it must be united. So all this banner and these processions and all that, right, it's just a temporary thing. One day, 2 days, you make a big noise and all that. It's an emotional outburst. Nothing more than an emotional outburst. No life in it. But the one day, 2 days, you made a big noise, came in the paper, made a procession, had a talk and all that. And then after that, what's the follow-up? Back to square one. You're not doing it. There's no follow-up. You know, they have an ishtima, right? Just imagine if they had that ishtima only. A lot of crowd they had. They pulled a lot of crowd. But there was no follow-up of any jamaat afterwards. Would that have been a success? Would have been a success. You need to have a follow-up after that. Now, so many people got impressed, they got affected. Now, you need to have a follow-up. Then you say, all right, now this has got a backup, and this is going to have some life, is going to have some continuity. So the only way I see is to unite. But then how do you go about uniting? If you want to unite the Muslims, then how do you go about uniting the Muslim? I want to unite under one banner. I say, no, you know, we're going to make maulud, right? The other one says, no, I'm not for maulud. I don't subscribe to that. So straight away you're broken up. He says maulud and you say no maulud. Or he says maulud, you say tabli, right? So is there any way that you're going to be able to unite them? Maaf, I'm speaking not in the lines of tasawuf today. Yeah? People are eager to learn only tasawuf. Hazrat Rahmatullah's whole line was different. People just want to hear only about some Sufi, some Buzuruk, etc. Here the whole idea is to clear and to improve the thought process. To clear and to improve the thought process, the thinking. Once the thinking is correct, then everything is right. And the thinking is corrupt, then everything goes wrong. I was explaining to someone that you don't improve the thinking and you just give the theory, you know, it's a corruption, it's a wasted effort. Maaf for quoting this type of an example, but it's a reality. It's reality what I'm explaining to you. In the course of this last 2 weeks or so, one person came up explaining his halat. This is what we call halat. Halat means your spiritual conditions. Is there a type of balance? Or are you having some type of fluctuations? So you explain your personal condition, what's going about. So we do understand now what's happening. So he needed to explain and express this anger and how the anger is. Did he have the better over him or did he have the command over that anger? He says, I came home, a little bit quite hungry. Full day's work now. Ordinary person had a full day's work. So as he comes home and he's wife is frowning and moaning and groaning. You see, I prepared this meals, whether it was chops, whether it was steak, whatever, and I prepared all these things, steak and faluda and whatever I prepared. And your so-and-so had to come in and she wiped out half of it. Now it is prepared enough for me and for you. And now this one had to come and wipe it out. I couldn't stop her. Now, what are you going to do? You better make your own arrangements. Not here to complain. Now, this woman is a woman that learned in a madrasa. That's why I'm saying, maaf for the example. but she's a woman that she's learnt in a madrasa. Now there's a difference. There's a difference. A woman that is home trained and a woman that is madrasa trained. A woman that is mother trained and a woman that is a madam trained. A woman that is mother trained and a woman that is apa trained is too different. And it's strange that we can't understand the difference. Mother trained, she's shaping it right. She knows, right, this girl of mine is going to go into another home. What are the challenges in the next home? I went through the same thing. Right? My mother, she shaped me and she molded me that I can make up a home. But this woman is apa trained, it's madam trained, right? It's a teacher trained or it's a professor trained. So she doesn't have that concern, she doesn't have that experience. She doesn't have that exposure. She's got the theory, but she didn't have that life theory. She didn't have that exposure. She didn't have that experience. How is he going to pass? And the mother felt very, very comfortable. No, my daughter, she's doing Mishkat Sharif, and she's doing this hadith. So, she will be a buzruk in her time. She'll be a wali of the time. So much of kitab she did. But the mother didn't realize that there was the theoretical knowledge without the application. There's no application. The husband, as he comes into the home, he needs certain, he has certain demands. Now, if a woman is experienced, she knows, all right, these are the demands of a woman. When these are the demands of a woman, then how is the wife supposed to be carrying on and conducting herself to make the husband comfortable? If she doesn't learn that, she only had the theory. She learned that kitab and this kitab and so many other kitabs. So obviously she'll say, my right and his right. My right and his right. If the next person comes in, no, he's squashing and he's cramping our space. It's not right of this. Now look at the original training. The original training of a woman that were trained originally by their mothers. Right? What most of us may have seen in our childhood, we have seen it. That if a guest comes in, right, unexpected guest comes in. So the mother, the father, whoever it is, they will take him with so much of respect. MashaAllah, what a pleasure. And you can see it, they're saying it from the heart. It's not just a superficial thing, not an artificial thing. It's real, mashallah. Long lost friends. And you didn't come to us. What's wrong with you? So they will express their grief and they will express also the happiness to receive the guest. And then whatever they can present, they'll give all. Whatever they are preparing for the whole day, whether they were preparing samosas for that day, or they're preparing half moon for that day, or biryani for that day, whatever they were preparing, everything will prepare it. And you must eat. No, you didn't eat enough. You didn't eat. You must eat and eat. I'm enough now. I'm quite clear. No, but you made that biscuit just yesterday. You made this donut or you made this thing here. Whatever it is. Sweet meat, savory, whatever. So you prepare all these things here just for you. We prepare it. We didn't know we were preparing it for you. Now that we realize we prepare it for you, what a joy, what a happiness you must have of this. So they don't realize that they're wiping everything. Everything is wiped off. And at the end, they'll just have the leftovers. So they're not worried about it. So when we see our mothers, our aunts, and our grannies, then this was their style. This was the training that they had received. And these women that are going to schools or madrasas, whatever it is, lower level or higher level of madrasa education, then they say, no, what is for us? And what is for our child? We worked for it. So what should we enjoy? What must we enjoy? What's our rights? What their rights? They can't come to us and cramp our space, no. So the whole thinking of these people was the thinking of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. They receive one unexpected guest. So the wife and the husband is saying, we'll do as though we extinguish the lamp and let him wipe the whole plate out. Right? We will stay hungry for the night. So the old people's thinking was totally in conformity with the Sahaba-i-Kiram. And our thinking is a different line altogether. It's totally different. It's a Western type of a thinking. My one friend was studying in Ireland. So I just want to show you who we are aligning ourselves with. With Nabi Sassam and the Sahaba-i-Kiram, or with the Kuffar and the enemies of Islam. Who are we aligning ourselves with? So he comes and expresses his position the following day in the class, as the class is in Brig or something, and he expresses what happened. He says, no, you know what? Last night, it was quite cold, minus 10 or something also. And I received my father-in-law. He had traveled from America, wherever he had come in. But you know, we just had one dozen chops. So we thought to ourselves, you know, we must enjoy it because we prepared it, we worked for it. He came unexpected, right? So we let him wait outside. And we finished and enjoyed ourselves. And thereafter he came in, we received him, and he's going to be staying for 1 week. So we're going to be charging him for the boarding and the lodging as well. Now this is one type of thinking, and this is another type of thinking. Now we need to work it out within ourselves. Who are we aligning ourselves with? With Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba-i-Kiram, or with someone that is totally alien and foreign to us? We need to work it out. Now this kitab reading is, we got it there, we read the stories and all that. The stories are not for entertainment and excitement. It is to show us that who do we belong to? What's your origin? Who do you belong to? What's your origin? How are you supposed to be thinking? One sahabi gets to know that Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha is living at a distance. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi would have liked that his daughter is living near him. So he says to Nabi Sallallahu, you know, I've got other homes as well. So it'll be my pleasure that, Ya Nabi Allah, you have this home for Fatima, but I'll move on. I've got another home as well. But your happiness is my happiness. Your joy is my joy. Your pleasure is my pleasure. Now this was the thinking of the Sahaba Ikram. This was the thought of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the people that were trained by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now we think to ourselves, who are we being trained by? So anyway, I just digress a little bit, just to show you the importance of thought process. We feel that the thought process is just by the way, it will come naturally. No, that has to be instilled. The mother has to be breaking her head with the child from the morning to the evening to see that the child goes on the right line. Otherwise, it's an alien thought. It's me, my child, me, my child. That's all. Other things are immaterial. Whether that person is suffering, the neighbor is dying, it's not my business. So long as I have protected my own interests, my child's interests, I have protected and guarded, but that's enough. Beyond that, it's not my responsibility, it's not my duty, it's not my concern. So anyway, we are getting to what we supposed to be thinking like. What's our thought supposed to be? Just these books and kitabs will never give it to you. Al-Mu'ad, Thaymi Sahib Rahmatullah says, that this is the difference in the Khanqa of the old. The Khanqa of the old was totally different. The Khanqa of the old, the whole process was to improve the thought. Not just instruct the person in zikr. We feel, just instruct the person in zikr, carry on. Everything will come right. But we didn't understand the meaning of zikr in the first place. Number two, was this the procedure of the Khanqa of old? No. The Khanqa of old, they would look at the person, examine the person. See if the thought procedure is right or not right. Get him to think rightly. Then will they start off zikr. Because that person starts off zikr straight away. He begins to have certain feelings. He's going high. He's feeling high about himself. And when he feels high, he feels, no, my iman is very strong. Whether he's robbing someone, he's cheating someone, he's going on to interest, his eyesight is right, or his ears are wrong, his tongue is not right, he's totally disconcerned. If he's not, so long as my iman is right, my feelings are very high, I'm going very strong, I'm going very well. So they will check into all this. Okay, what is the thought procedure? What is the behavior like? What is the pattern like? Is he thinking correctly? Is he behaving correctly? Is his style right? So they will watch into all these things. They will not just restrict themselves into one thing or two things. Therefore Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, okay, when your physician is not right, how do you expect your patient to be right? The patient can be only right if the physician is right. The physician needs to be right to be having a full, complete thought and reasoning process for that patient to be right. But he himself is not right. His understanding is not right. He didn't go through the training. So how do you expect that Maris to come right? Otherwise you have to send all these people to Marisburg. So this whole procedure was different. Now they saw a person, for example, they saw a certain kami in him, some weakness, they will go and correct that weakness. Adhamu Tami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one senior murid of his, an alim senior murid of his. Now I'm just showing you the thought procedure, how they would go about correction in that zamana. We'll come back to this topic again, the Syrian war and all that, inshallah. Come back. But first things first, huh? Right. So this person comes and he expresses some of his spiritual conditions to one of the people in the Khanqa. He had some dream or something, whatever dream he had, exciting dream and experience. So he shares his experience with one of the persons in the Khanqa. He's a senior alim, he's murid. Maulana heard about it, Maulana got very affected. And Maulana said, "Now you are so great now, you're getting so great spiritual experiences, so me, I'm not fit to make your Islam now. I'm not capable for that. So you'd rather go somewhere else now, because you are senior than me. Now you better open your own Khanqa. Go out now. Get out from here." And now it's a big senior alim, and he's crying one way. Uncontrollably he's crying. Now Maulana is a physician, and he's a specialist physician. All physicians are being produced under him. So he is not affected with this person's crying. He's crying loudly, and Maulana is not affected at all. Now he's an alim, and there's a whole majlis carrying on, and Maulana discovered that this is what he did. Now get out. Maulana stood his grounds, he had to move out. After about 4 or 5 days, Maulana allowed him, when he asked for apology, or something. Maulana says, "Now, I see that my heart is taking to you openly. My heart has opened out to you. When my heart has opened out to you, this is a sign, not an assurance, but it's a sign that inshallah Allah Ta'ala has accepted your tawbah." And then he went on to explain that this is takabbur. You see, now you had that spiritual experience. When you had that spiritual experience, are you explaining and advertising that experience to the whole world? When you're sharing that experience with the whole world, then what's going to overcome your mind? I am there now. I had this experience. I saw this dream and I saw this Nabi and I saw that person. So no, I am above the rest. I'm not just the normal here. I'm above the rest. Now where you begin to feel that I am above the rest, and a khayrum min, and this is a shaitanic thought. And that shaitanic thought, that is the main blockage in this road. The main blockage is in the word of the time in this road is that shaitan istakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. That pride. You know, when the Quran Sharif speaks about the kafirs and they being ushered to Jahannam, right? Fadkhulu abwaba Jahannam khalidina fiha fabi'sa mathwa al-mutakabbirin. So Allah Pak explains the reason, what is the reason behind their kufr? فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. The reason behind their kufr was the takabbur, the pride. So when these Buzurganadeen speak about these things, it doesn't mean that they are pulling out from the pockets. They got proper sources for this. So they are being entered into Jahannam. But the last closing sentence, فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. When you thought too much about yourself, then that, see, made you and forced you to be bent upon your ways. Because you felt that if I'm going to leave my ways, then it's my self-pride. Because my father, my grandfather, all the way on one system. If I'm going to shift away from that, then what's going to happen to my pride? What's going to happen to my integrity? What's going to happen to my position? What's going to happen to myself? So rather, I just stick to my own ways, my old ways. So at least I'll have a reputation, I'll have a name. Shaitan also thought the same thing, that if I'm going to bow down, then what about myself? What about my self-esteem? What about my dignity? What about my reputation? 700,000 years of ibadah, what's going to happen to all that? So now this was the thing that smashed him down. You see, when I say that this is what we are going through is all theoretical. Nobody is trying to fix himself, correct himself. This now, about 1.5, 2 hours ago, there was a phone from a woman. Didn't sound very old. Recently in the marriage. So she says, she's complaining that, you know what, my husband divorced me 2 times. Then I made a dua that, oh Allah Ta'ala, if this marriage is not the better thing for me, then I must get out of this marriage. And then unfortunately, at the end of Ramadan, we had to separate ways because he had given the third divorce. So now she's feeling guilty about herself, that this is the dua she made, and as a result of this dua, this is what happened. So I told her, no, you don't have to feel guilty of yourself, the dua that you made was right. Because you are only concerned about this worldly life, and you got some type of security and a backbone for this worldly life, right? Your present concern. But your concern in Ramadan was your eternal life. Okay, if it's not good for my akhirat, etc., then this marriage must end up. Because you could see that this person's behavior was inconsistent. So then she began to cry. She says, yes, what happened? Okay, he was a hafiz. My husband was a hafiz, earning very good money, and he would support me very well. But I saw him, he had an inconsistent pattern. When he had an inconsistent pattern, then I didn't feel the level of security that I desired. So he had come around the 28th, 29th of Ramadan, and for something he just went into a tantrum. He took the Quran Sharif and smashed it on my back. So I told her, see, I told you that this was not the better thing for you with respect to your akhirat. Now this person, I don't know if he's a Muslim or not. I don't want to say that he's a kafir, but it's a very, very, very wrong thing that he has done. Thing that he's done is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous thing he's done. So you have saved yourself and you have saved your akhirat. Although she's saying, but you know, he was a hafiz. And I thought, you know, I could have been sticking on with hafiz. At least I would have had that honor to be married to a hafiz, get that martaba in Jannah, etc. I told her, see, that's just one aspect. Right? The education and the theory is one aspect. But until it is not supported with the amal, with the taqwa and the righteousness and virtue, it doesn't mean much. I don't say it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean much. You need to support that with that respect, with that adab, with that amal, etc. Then you will say it's worth the while. But there is no respect for it. There is no appreciation for it. There is no... So what is happening today is that we have given all our effort just to the theory, just to the education. But to make the individual, nobody is concerned. We are passing the buck. The child is being passed from the father to the teacher. The teacher will make my child. But what about you? You are the parent. You assumed parenthood. So aren't you responsible also for your child? No, it's not my responsibility. The ustad is making him. The ustad, the afisab, the murai is going to make him. Not my responsibility. So you pass the buck on, appeasing your conscience that I have done more than a fair share. And the parent, the ustad feels, well, the child is here with me for 3-4 hours. It's not my responsibility, it is the parent's duty to see that his akhlaq and character is improved. So he is passing the buck on to you, and you are passing the buck on to him. So what's going to happen to this child? So this thought process has to be rectified. So Mullah Thaymi Rahmatullah accepted him after that 4 days. This Mulana used to say to people thereafter that Mulana threw me out. He threw me out. It was a harsh treatment. I can't deny that it was a difficult treatment. But yet what I achieved in that 4 days, I don't think I would have achieved in 100 years. Because it broke me down. It broke all my pride down. Finish. All that pride, that arrogance that I had, everything was broken down. And then he says, you see, Mulana, when he would take someone out, throw out someone from the Khanqah, that it wouldn't come without a very beautiful ending. He threw him out, but it came with a very beautiful ending after that. One is this, that whatever I couldn't have achieved in 100 years, I got it in that 4 days. Number two, in a short span of time, Mulana gave him khilafat after that. Number three, there are hundreds and thousands of people that are taking benefit from this alim. But for that, he had to go through this. That artery was blocked, see. That artery was blocked. He would have died a heart attack. So Mulana had to give him a major, major surgery. Remove all that blockages from the system. Repair all the things, right. So he had to be in that ICU. Nobody, don't talk to anybody for one, that 4 days solid. If only very difficult between life and death. Mulana had to give him that treatment. For his health to be restored, Mulana had to give him that treatment. He got that, and now hundreds and thousands of people are getting the benefit. Just as a reflection, sometimes this type of a treatment is required. And we don't see the need for this treatment. Yunus Al Islam, isn't he doing tabligh and da'wat? Is he doing or not? Alright. You will say it's a miscalculation. A Nabi doesn't make a sin, doesn't commit a sin. He It was a miscalculation. But for that miscalculation, you had to live in the belly of that fish for over 40 days. Right? We all know that. So now, if we just analyze it the other way, you know, if you could have made tabligh and dawah in the 40 days, how many people you could have recruited? Now, that's using our brains against Allah Ta'ala's prescription. Allah says, no, you move out completely out of the scene. Won't stay there. And then after that, Allah Pak says that we had guided more than 100,000 people through this man. So for that little bit, difficulty, see the reward, see the end. The end is very sweet. So in the khanqahs in the past, this is what used to happen. They used to correct them, akhlaq, the character, etc. And this is an impediment afterwards. It's an impediment, it's an obstruction. It's an obstruction for a higher objective. And nobody is looking at that I need to correct that. This is an impediment. This is an obstruction. Right? And that obstruction has to be removed. Sometimes it is pride. Therefore, in the khanqah, in the past, what would happen? The buzurg is seeing that this person has got a little bit of pride. You can see the background that he's coming from. He's a little bit of a boss type of a person. So he's got a mind of his own. But the buzurg time, alright, go into the wuzu khana. All the drains are going clean. All that spit and everything going clean with your hands. Wash the toilet for 1-2 months at a time, allow him to do it. Now he's going there and scrubbing, it's nauseous and all that. But the barakat of the sheikh's instruction will be, after some time say, but I got the same thing also, whether it's the toilet or whether it's the drain, if I'm cleaning that, then I got the same things as well. So I can't be thinking myself to be holier than thou. But I got the same thing, the same filth comes out of me as well. So with the barakat of that instruction, this is what happens to that individual afterwards. So sometimes it's that pride. Sometimes it's that self-esteem. You think too much of yourself. So rather, he has to look now. This person here, he is very sensitive. He's got a short fuse, right? Like many of us got a short fuse now. Now, how to correct the short fuse? So they have to employ methods to correct that short fuse. Or this person here, he's not very careful in the use of his tongue. He'll just blurt out and call from here and there, wherever, just to suit him. But is he correcting himself? Azhaji Muhammad, Masihullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, explain the story that two persons came from India to Afghanistan. Look at the distance. India, Afghanistan, over 1,000 kilometers, right? And they came in, and they are making wuzu there, the wuzu khana in the hose. You know, how you got Gracie Masjid, the olden days, that's what used to happen. They have a hose, you're making wuzu there. So they're sitting and making wuzu there, and one person is saying to the other, you know what? Hamare yaha ka hose, is hose se bohot hi bara hai. Okay, our pond is far bigger than this pond here. Our pond in India is far bigger than this pond here in Afghanistan. So the sheikh is overhearing what they are talking. Anyway, when he overheard what they were talking, when they were discussing, so the sheikh says, all right, go to India and go and measure that and come back. Now, you can imagine, now you're talking about 300 years ago, where there is no train, no car, no plane. What an arduous journey. How much it must have costed them, right? Night and day, there's no in and all, because sleep, just sleep anywhere, wherever you find place. What amount of money they may have spent, right? Oh, they went back to India now, went and measured the pond, came back. Imagine all the trip that, what is costing them. And they're happy that, you know, we see in that our pond, that our pond was one hand span bigger. Oh, they're happy, they're excited, they came to the sheikh. You know what? Our pond is bigger. How much bigger? One hand span. Sheikh said no. In the usage of the word, when you say one hand span, then you don't say it's very big, it's much more bigger than this pond. So it seems like you're not careful in the usage of your tongue. So go back and don't come back. Now, Hazrat Hamza used to explain this story and he says, it seemed like a very insignificant thing or it seemed like a ruthless sheikh. But he taught him a lesson of life. Because most problems come about because of a person not being careful of the usage of the tongue. If he's very meticulous, very careful of the use of the tongue, then you won't make this type of blunders. He'll think 10 times. You see, when you have these marital problems, you have problems with your children, you have problems with people, many times because of the failure of not being able to use your tongue correctly. Now, the buzurg, they check all these things. A person gives time to a buzurg, he gives time, stays there, and then the sheikh has got time to monitor the person. But he comes and he's gone. So where's the time to monitor the person, what he's doing, what he's not doing? He just say, no, Sheikh, the Sheikh is come now. Read, I will sit, stand and read Awabin, mashallah. Sheikh is kitna bara dek aadi hai. So he doesn't see all these finer things. He doesn't have the chance to see this thing. One poor person, poor woman came begging, right? So the Buzurg was sitting in the khanqa. And he didn't have any money at that time. So he told his khadim, go and tell the woman that may Allah Ta'ala bless you with wealth, right? You need wealth, may Allah Ta'ala bless you with wealth. So this khadim went to the woman and told him, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with wealth. So the Shaykh overheard this and he took off with this murid. And he said, I asked you to say Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala bless you. And you went and said, Allah Ta'ala will bless you. May Allah Ta'ala bless you is a dua. And Allah Ta'ala will bless you is a prediction. May Allah Ta'ala bless you is a dua. And Allah Ta'ala will bless you, that's a prediction. See? Now, failure to understand. Now, see that the thought process, the use of the words. Where you get these people that are following the Quran and Hadith directly. The problem again there is they don't analyze, they don't reason correctly. Half they understood, half they haven't understood. They're misquoting, misanalyzing. One person is performing namaz, and wherever he's performing namaz, he's got a dog before him. Wherever he's performing namaz, he's got a dog before him. Where did you get this from? You know, we studied so much of hadith and Quran and all that. But this thing I've never seen in our life, that you're reading namaz and you got a dog before you. So no, it comes the hadith. Which hadith? La salata illa bi huduril kalb. So now, to understand the Quran Sharif and to be able to explain it correctly, you'll need to have the understanding of tajweed and qirat as well. You see now you got half-baked. You get a person that is half-baked, he hasn't understood Quran Sharif, or he doesn't know Qirat, he doesn't know Tajweed. So Qalb and Qalb mean the same thing. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand the difference. Qalb is a heart, and Qalb is dog. And I say, La salata illa bi huduril Qalb. Namaz is valid with the presence of the heart. Namaz is valid with the presence of the mind, right? And how this person will translate it? Because he doesn't learn Tajweed, he doesn't know Qirat. Salat is not valid. Salat is only valid with the presence of a dog. Now see, Zameen Asman ka fark. What a major difference. What a major discrepancy. So these people in the past, they would check into all these things. He got takabbur, how to fix this person up. He thinks too much of himself. He wants that show. The people must talk about him. People must recognize him. They must identify with him. He must give the talk, right? So he wants that position. He wants that recognition. He's got it in his heart. He's not saying it. Because the Shaykh mustn't ask for position. So therefore he's not asking it. Asking for it. But within his heart, he said, no, hey, give me the show, you know. I'll do a splendid job here. At least people will recognize me. At least, you know, I got more assert in my talk than this person here. So all these thoughts are running in your mind. So the Shaykh sees all these things here. And he tries to correct it. He tries to rectify it. One person came to Zunnun Misri, Rahmatullah Ali, Egypt. Zunnun Misri, we call him Misri because he's Egypt. So he said, hey, Hazrat, you know your murid, so-and-so murid, he's drunkard. He's like that, he's drunkard. But from the tone of this person that came to complain, who was also a murid, he could make out that he was proud of himself. You see, hey, these people here, your murid, and see what he's doing. So he was despising that person. So now Sheikh said, I need to fix him up. How do I fix him up? He said, alright, see, he's drunk now. So he's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good reflection that he's sitting there and lying down there. You go and hold him and bring him. Now he's bringing him to the streets. See, now the people, the whole world is seeing what's going on. He says, hey, in Sufiya ka koi thikana nahi. These Sufis, you can't trust them. See, both of them are drunken. Just that the one is a little less drunken, so he knows what is going on. But in the meanwhile, what the Shaykh has done, has given an ilaj for this person. Has treated him for his pride. Okay, you see, you are despising this person here. You need treatment yourself. You need correction yourself. The Shaykh will treat this person afterwards, eventually. But you needed to get that pride smashed down in your system. Anyway, we were talking about the Syrian issue. And I said, you know what? What is the ilaj? The ilaj is then not all the slogans and not what we are doing now presently. A little bit of relief. Nobody can dispute it. Nobody can argue the merits of relief. All will say, all right. So long as there are no legal implications, all just do it, right? But is that the long-term solution? You're going to do the relief, okay, and then what? Then they'll make this person fight against this person will fight against this person here. Again, it comes back to the same thing. Embroiled in war again. Brother is killing brother. See? So, you're embroiled in war. So the solution is then to bring about a unity. Now how are you going to bring about that unity? Because you are joining this person, he's Maulud. This person is Tabligh. Now how are you going to be able to unite? So the simple thing to bring into ourselves is there are two types of issues. Right? And we take this step by step. We can't now change the person overnight. Can you change the person overnight? You can't change the person overnight. You know your own child, you can't change him overnight. If your child was wrong, right? He went into some bad habits. He's pawning or he's drugging or something, whatever he's doing. Can you change him overnight? So what approach will you use for your own child? It's alright, let's take one step at a time. So you'll say, alright, the first step, we'll only talk about non-controversial issues. Right? Namaz, have you got a problem with namaz? No problem with namaz. Masjid, have you got any problem with masjid? No. I don't have a problem with the masjid, I don't have a problem with namaz. So let's start off something that is non-controversial. In that, don't bring about any controversial issue. No, you know, that Maulud is coming there, or that Tabligh is coming there. Now don't talk about these type of things, that will create a controversy thereafter. Say, no, I'm speaking the haq. He also say, I'm speaking the haq. You just speak about things that are non-controversial. That's non-controversial, at least, alright, when you're doing those things that are non-controversial, they are haq, they are faraz. When he's doing that faraz in the sunnah has a noor of its own. When you're getting the person to the masjid, you're getting the person for namaz, then that's got a noor of its own. And the noor really is that thing that will make you see things rightly. You don't have the noor presently, so you are in the dark. When you're in the dark, you can't differentiate. So at least get him onto a common platform. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. And this is in conformity with the Quranic teaching. You're speaking to those Ahl al-Kitab, you're inviting them to Islam. But what pretexts you call them? How do you call them? يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. On a common platform. You also believe that there is one God. We also believe there is one God. Come, let's try this common platform. You also believe that God should not be associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also believe the same. So let's come to a common platform. Now when you're coming to a common platform, right, one thing, you know, jaza'u hasanatin al-hasanatu ba'daha. When you have come to a common platform, you have come to some consensus on a right. That one right will lead you to another right. The second right will lead you to another right, right? Now, you're reading namaz. When you're performing namaz, say, hey, alright, you know what? We need to start off Ramadan now. Ramadan preparations. So now, say, we need to call the mullah to give a talk about Ramadan, right? So now, one thing is leading you to the second thing, right? But say, hey, you know, there's so many people in this area here. Many of them are not fasting also. What should we do? So let's go and invite them. Let's go and talk to them. So you're not using the word tabligh and dawat, but you're doing the same thing. You're not using those words, but you are doing the same thing what they would have done. Let's look for an idea how to get these people, how to call them. You thought of an idea, you thought of an idea, but you'll have got that in your minds, that a common platform, non-controversial. We won't talk about controversial issues, right? But we will emphasize upon them that you see, you have got your personal problems, don't come to us. Then you refer yourself to some alim. Some person that is learned, some person that is educated. Between you and Allah Ta'ala, you feel that this person will not betray you. He will not deceive Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he will not betray you. You are sure about the person, you're confident about the person. That he is not commercialized, he doesn't have any other agenda, he is doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he will show you right. Because you, how much you going to comprehend, how much you going to understand, you have got your limitation. You'll have to have someone that is superior to you, more education, more understanding, more experience than yourself, right? So between you and Allah Ta'ala, who do you think that the person that will guide you to Allah Ta'ala is most capable, most experienced, most understanding? You take that person, hold his hand, and move on. This is how Allah Ta'ala has designed the world, right? Everybody is not competent to do everything, right? You got some problems in your books, you go to an accountant, don't you do that? Your reasoning tell you, but you are a doctor, but your books, you don't know how to manage your books. So you'll have to go to an accountant. It doesn't mean you're a doctor now, you are a master of every field. You're a master in one, right? Definitely you're a master, you know your field, you know your stuff. But this is a different field altogether. He will tell you how to save your tax, how to do this, how to manage your books, how to manage your business, right? Similarly, if you are an accountant, then it doesn't mean that you're an accountant, so you're a master of every field. You got a physical problem, you'll go to a doctor. So Allah has made this world like this, that one is dependent upon the other. Jala ba'dhum ba'dhan sukhriya. That Allah has made one subservient to the other. For this entire world to continue, Allah has made this program that one is subservient to the other. Everybody is not on an equal platform. Everybody is not the same. One is stronger, one is weaker. So one can extract work from the other. So we'll impress upon each other, right? No, this is what we need to do. Let's work on a common platform, but we'll remind each other, see, we have some obligations, we have some duties, we have some farais, etc., etc. Now what do we do about that? So the easy thing is, right, you have your ulama, etc. The person that you feel confident about, that he will not mislead you, he will not betray you, he will not deceive you, he will not mislead you, you go to him and you ask about these things. You're paying your zakat, not paying your zakat. How are you paying your zakat? Are you paying it correctly? Are you giving it to the right recipients? Are you giving it to the wrong recipients? What are you doing? So these things will come about. So you will have to contact someone. But in this way, now you got people together. Allah Pak says in the Quran, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِن دُونِي. What is the strategy of the kafir, the enemy of Allah Ta'ala? What is his strategy? His strategy is to frighten you. We got this. If you don't do this, you don't toe the line, this will happen to you. This will be the consequence. If you don't do this, this will happen to you. Right? So they will keep frightening you. They frighten Iraq, they frighten, right? So they frighten you. And Allah Pak says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا. Am I not sufficient to you? Am I not sufficient for you? I am your Allah Ta'ala. Am I not sufficient? Are you succumbing to this person's threat when I am around? Then what's the point of you succumbing to him? All you need to do is, I am your Rabb, I am Allah Ta'ala. When I am Allah Ta'ala, then what you need to do is succumb to me, whatever I say. When you succumb to me, then you will find the whole world will relent, will give in to you. You know, in India it happened when Gandhi was assassinated, you know. So you know how you have the propaganda war? And by the evening that this happened, by that evening, the news was out that Muslims have killed him. So the Muslims are afraid because they got the numbers, but still they're not in the authority, they're not in power. So the Buzugaruddin and Mashayikh told, see, in this type of situation, the better thing is to turn to Allah Ta'ala. Turn to Allah Ta'ala, it may be that we have committed some wrong. It may be that we didn't implore Allah Ta'ala sufficiently. We did not correct our relationship with Allah Ta'ala correctly. So Allah's command is, anibu ila rabbikum. Turn to him in repentance. In humility you turn to him. Implore him, ask his help. So they announced it right throughout India. By the morning, the papers, every paper's headline was, who killed Gandhi? They say, a Hindu fanatic. The whole thing was squashed just by the morning. In the evening was like this, and in the morning the whole thing was squashed up. But who did it? The turn of the heart is Allah Ta'ala. So what we are not doing is, we are using temporary solutions. We are treating symptoms. But we are not seeing what is the original problem. When I say we are not doing that, we need to start off within our own homes, our wives and children. Can we bring about the unity there? Within our masjid, can we do that? Within our own masjid, leave around the whole world. Now we talk of, you know, Syria and Palestine and Misr and Egypt, everything else. But within our own masjid, can we bring about some type of unity and understanding?
Oh, we're failing this. But now we're talking about so big world issues. And within our own circles, we can't bring about a unity. We don't know. We just kick, we just blow our top. And within our own brothers, there's a fight. So what we need to learn is how to unite, how to try and agree, how to come to a common platform, not agreeing on the wrong things, but at least some common platform on the right things. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Yasir.